learning to say no is tough, especially if you have to do the personal work investing intense consideration into every decision point. Sometimes, a few fast rules for no's to live by can ease the burden of the on-the-spot deliberation. I'm Shannon Hayes, and you're listening to Season 4, Episode 13 of The Hearth of Setbush Hollow, the third and final installment in my three-part series, A Celebration of Negation. Welcome to the Hearth of Setbush Hollow, chronicles and lessons from a life tied to family, community, and the land. I'm Shannon Hayes, and I operate Setbush Hollow Farm with three generations of my family in the northern Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. I'm the chef owner of Setbush Cafe, a farm-to-table and neighbor-to-neighbor experience, open Saturdays 9 to 2 from April through November in our tiny hamlet of West Fulton. And I'm also the author of a few books, including Radical Homemakers, The Grass-Fed Gourmet, and Redefining Rich. Difficult, selfish, willful, controlling, closed-minded, nasty, disagreeable, caustic, pig-headed, ungrateful, obstinate, offensive, annoying, stubborn, bastard, bitch. There are lots of words to describe a person who chooses to say no. I think those words used to be one of the reasons I spent too much of my life saying yes. I didn't want to be disliked. I didn't want people to think ill of me. But as we've discussed in the last two parts of this series, no matters a lot when trying to create a life centered around our loves and passions. But the truth is, when I first started saying no, I think I probably embodied a lot of those words. I was difficult. I was caustic. But it wasn't because I'm a bitch. It was because I was feeling guilty. I knew I needed to say no to protect myself, my way of life, and my relationships, but I felt bad doing it. I didn't feel entitled to my no, even if I had a great technique for doing it, as we discussed in part two last week. I still felt I wasn't qualified to issue my refusals, and that made me feel the guilt. And the guilt made me defensive, and feeling defensive made me come across as, well, difficult, selfish, willful, controlling, close-minded, nasty, disagreeable, caustic, pig-headed, ungrateful, obstinate, offensive, annoying, stubborn, and of course, bitchy. So, as part of my journey to mastering no, I had to shed the guilt. Our society imposes a lot of no's that people accept without harboring resentment to the naysayers. No smoking in public spaces. No drinking and driving. No double parking. When there is a rule on the books, people, for the most part, follow the rule. Those who enforce the rules don't sit around feeling guilty and defensive for doing their jobs. That's because there's a black and white rule. The enforcement isn't a personal rejection of anyone. It's just a rule. As I was growing in my quest for affirmative negation, it occurred to me that maybe a simple rule, even if it was a personal rule only for myself, might help to absolve me of guilt and the quagmire of defensiveness, insults, and hurt feelings that ensued. It all started with meetings. Bob and I were observing that a large part of our stress running a business and raising a family came from my involvement on boards and the frequent requests I would receive to attend meetings. They were all for worthy causes, but if the meetings were in the morning, they interfered with homeschooling. If they were in the afternoon, they interfered with farm work. If they were in the evening, they interfered with dinner and kept me out late so that I couldn't rise early to do my creative work the next day. And then there were the interpersonal conflicts that inevitably rise when people work together. They troubled me more than they should have. They kept me up late, replaying disturbing dialogues, and they caused me to experience stress and dread and distracted me from my kids and my work. Taking inspiration from no smoking laws, it occurred to Bob and me that maybe I needed a hard and fast rule for myself. No group meetings, period. No commissions, no boards, no committees. This is not to say that I didn't believe in the causes that required the meetings. I value civic activity highly. However, I recognized that group settings, while they're good for some folks, are not where an introvert like myself is most effective at building a better world. I work well with people one-on-one. I've learned that while those interactions may be invisible to the public eye, I can affect change in the world without compromising my personal, family, and business needs. Better still, once I made the rule for myself, I never twisted myself in knots again when asked to participate in a meeting or join a committee or a board. My answer to these requests became swift, guilt-free, and thus without the defensive baggage. Oh, thanks for thinking to include me. I don't do meetings. When I was certain of my personal rule, I discovered that people didn't push against it. They didn't even seem offended. They just accepted it. It was that easy. But better still was the ease in my own heart. I learned that with a good personal rule, my no didn't occupy unnecessary real estate in my busy brain. As the years went by, I added to my no meetings rule. To date, I have a list of 6 no's for myself that help keep me from extending unnecessary mental energy and anguish. The no's that ensue from those rules lack emotional charge because, like the no smoking rule, it's nothing personal. Some of these rules turn into no's directed outward. Some of them are no's to help me govern my own thoughts and emotions. As this is the final installment in our celebration of negation, I'm going to share those no's with you and why I've chosen them. To be clear, I'm not suggesting that everyone should adopt any or all of them for their personal success or happiness. We each need to make our own choices based on what's right for us. That said, I do think establishing some basic rules for automatic no's does help to construct more effective, less emotionally charged boundaries. So to help inspire you, here are mine. Number 1, no meetings. We explored that one in depth already, so no need to expound here. 2, no social media. I feel it drains my creative energy and that it causes my business and personal life too much stress and lost productivity. If something about social media is really worth knowing about, I will eventually hear about it from my real-life social contacts. 3, no measuring up. I look to other farmers, writers, and small business owners for inspiration and great ideas. We all have struggles, and we all have strengths. I just need to help my business and family grow in ways that are healthy, mutually beneficial, and respectful of the earth. Everything else is just a distraction. 4, no people pleasing. This has been a hard one to learn, but I have discovered that when I don't speak my mind or stand my ground on a troubling matter for the sake of keeping others comfortable, my stomach turns sour. Honesty saves time for everyone. 5, no apologies for success. I don't know if men have this problem, but I have felt as a socially conscious female, I somehow should be ashamed if my business is doing well. as though our prosperity will be taken away unless I act demure and play down our successes and victories. But embracing success with gratitude, I have learned, is a way of thanking the universe and opening ourselves up for more great things. And six, no know-it-alling. Anything can change at any time. Learning makes life thrilling. I could be wrong about anything and everything, and the discovery of something new to lead to such conclusions makes for thrilling conversations, new connections, and new ideas. And maybe no know-it-alling will lead me to find a few yeses. Maybe it will lead me to more no's. Either way, setting boundaries matters. They help define a life. I hope these past few weeks' ruminations on negations has helped you identify some of your own limits and define your own life more clearly. No matter what, remember what my friend Corby, the cafe's resident psychic who sits at bar 5, always says. No is a fabulous idea. Sapbush Cafe continues to be open every Saturday from 9 to 2 until Thanksgiving, except October 21st and 29th when we plan to go on vacation. The prefix farm-to-table special for Saturday, July 15th will be lasagna with fresh greens and hearth bread and white chocolate raspberry cake. Our special for July 22nd will be Murg Makhani Indian butter chicken over rice with apple raisin chutney and lemon raspberry icebox cake. You can check out the weekly prefix farm-to-table specials on the blog at sapbush.com. Our online website, sapbushfarmstore.com, is stocked with our grass-fed and pastured meats and eggs, as well as wool bedding and yarn. Feel free to check it out, or better yet, if you're in the area, drop by our honor store any time of the day or night, located in the little red shed at the back of the cafe parking lot. The address is 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York. Also, if you live within driving distance, we are having a special sale on our CSA pork shares. Get $50 off quarter and half pig shares through the end of the month or until we're sold out. If you'd like to come see us for a getaway, our farm-to-table retreat on Panther Creek is taking bookings through Airbnb, and Tibbetts House will once again be available starting this fall. If you want to stay on top of cafe and farm specials, farm happenings, or follow my musings on the blog when the podcast goes silent in the fall and winter, be sure to head over to the website at either sapbush.com or theradicalhomemaker.net and sign up for the newsletter. We do not do social media, so this is the only way to keep tabs on us. Plus, when you do, you can download a free workbook that pairs with my latest book, Redefining Rich, winner of a Nautilus and an Axiom Medal. If you enjoy the slower things in life, you can also join our snail mail list and get Ula's hand-drawn postcards with notices about special offers at our CSA program. You can even be entered into a drawing to win a free CSA share by emailing me at shannon@sapbush.com with your address. If you enjoyed this, please take a few minutes to leave a review. It helps other folks to find the work. And please share this podcast with friends and family. It helps to get the ideas to spread. Better still, you can make the magic happen for as little as $1 a month by hopping over to Patreon and looking up Shannon Hayes. Or, if it's easier, you can also donate to support the podcast by sending a check to Shannon Hayes, care of Sapbush Hollow Farm, 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York, 12194. And it's a really important thing to do because all of this, the podcast, the blog, the novels, and the books, and the creative recharging that happens over fall and winter are a result of the support of my patrons on Patreon. And this week, I'd like to send a shout out to my patrons, Jennifer Manning and Jennifer Hanning. Thank you, folks. I could not do it without you. In case you're wondering, this podcast was produced and edited by the sexiest man alive, my husband, Bob Hooper. And the great music we're listening to comes to us from Emory, and her name is spelled E-M-O-R-I-E. Thanks for listening,